Today we have the story that's pretty well known of Jesus's being with his friends Martha and Mary at their home. Lazarus is the brother of Martha and Mary, and Jesus was friends with this whole family. And sometimes this story can make us feel like there's an injustice going on here. Martha is working hard, feeling burdened, trying to provide hospitality for Jesus, and Mary is just sitting at his feet. And so Martha protests to Jesus, shouldn't my sister be helping me? So it makes me think a little bit of when I was growing up, and my brothers and my sister and I were, especially my sister and I, who were the oldest, we're so concerned about fairness. We wanted everything to be equitable. And so when my mom would leave for work, if we were home in the summer, we would go over our to-do list and compare ours to everyone else's and make sure that there wasn't a minute more required of us, myself, than was required of one of my siblings. So we can have this tendency to compare ourselves to others, and is my situation more or less unfair? We can find ourselves complaining about that. So sometimes this passage is seen as a comparison between activity and being passive, or even we can see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus as a symbol of prayer. And so we can look at this passage as Jesus is favoring prayer, which Mary is doing or symbolizing, over the work that Martha is doing. But I actually don't think that is what Jesus is getting at. And I think that partly because of the first reading that the church pairs with this gospel. The first reading is that very mysterious scene from the book of Genesis, where the three mysterious visitors come to Abraham. And it's very interesting what happens here. These three show up, but yet Abraham receives them immediately. What's interesting is that he refers to them in the singular. So it says there are the three angels or the three messengers who show up, and Abraham refers to them as sir. And so what the church has always seen in this is like a little foretaste of the revelation of the Trinity, God's being one in three persons. But the point is that Abraham recognized that the three visitors was God. And what does he do? He provides hospitality for him. And it's frenetic hospitality. He is throwing a party. So he's running in and telling Sarah to get things ready. He's having a calf slaughtered. He's getting everything ready for his guest, who he knows is God. So if we go back to the gospel passage, the problem to Jesus isn't that Martha is working frenetically in order to provide a party for him. The problem is rather in Martha's finding herself so burdened with the serving. And Jesus tells her that she's become anxious and worried about many things. So that's the problem. This is what differentiates Martha from Mary. Martha, Jesus says, is anxious and worried about many things, while Mary is focused on what Jesus says is the one thing necessary. So what are we to make of all of this? I think it's normal if we're a human being to have lots of things going on in our life and lots of cares. So there might be a lot of things that we're concerned about going on at work or at home or with family. Maybe you have aging parents, or maybe you have children that you're really concerned about. So many things that we can be anxious and worried about. What does Jesus want, though, in the face of the many things that there are going on in our life that can cause us worry and anxiety? Well, he wants us not to allow the many things to leave us feeling burdened and anxious and worried, but rather he wants us to focus on the one thing necessary. We see Mary doing that in this gospel. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. Because what happens when we focus on the one thing necessary is that the many things end up finding their proper place within the one. So the way that I try to live this practically, and I'm able to do this because I don't have a family. Some people say that I only work 2 days a week anyway, so I have plenty of time. So the way I live this practically is that every day I start my day with a holy hour, an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I mean, there are lots, even though that's my habit of life, and I've been accustomed to that for many years, I can still have the temptation when I feel particularly, when my life feels particularly full, or I feel like I have many cares and responsibilities on a particular day. Even as I was going to prayer this morning, I was thinking of the five people that I needed to call last week, and I hadn't called any of them. And gosh, now it's next week. Should I delay my holy hour and start like sending some emails and texts to reach out to these people that I had committed myself to talking to? But usually it's my experience that that's a temptation. That actually what the Lord wants me to do is instead of focusing on the many things which leave me feeling anxious and burdened, he wants me to focus on the one thing. And so I give that time to the Lord. And then after that hour is over, then I start running. But that focus on the one thing necessary for 1 hour, that focus on the Lord for 1 hour, helps all the many things to fall into place, so that I don't experience them so much as a burden or as a heavy weight. Partly because in the morning I've given them to Jesus. And so all of these cares or all these things that I have going on in my day, I've tried to surrender them. And so then that helps me not to worry about them. I trust that as long as I'm working hard, that the Lord will get done through me what he wants to get done. And sometimes he'll not get the things done that I would have wanted to get done, but then that makes me trust in his timing and in his will and not worry so much about what I want or what I think should happen. So it's definitely a luxury for me to have time to make that holy hour every day, but it's really important that each one of us make time for the Lord each day. It doesn't matter if we're 18 or 80, that this is the Lord's desire for us. He doesn't want any of us, whether we're a mom or a dad with kids, or whether we're a retired person, or whether we're empty nesters but still have jobs. He doesn't want any of us to feel this anxiety because of the many things. Each one of us, he wants to help to be focused on the one thing so that the many things find their proper place and cease to be a burden and an anxiety. So I always tell people that everybody should spend 15 minutes at least in prayer. And to try to make that what it was for Mary, a listening to the Lord, a time of silence. Sometimes that time we set aside for prayer can be as active as the time that we're working, because we're trying to get in our rosary and our Divine Mercy chaplet and trying to get in our Bible in the year and this, and we only have 35 minutes and there's just so much to do during that time. Well, all of a sudden that time of prayer starts seeming like the many things that now feel like a burden. And so sometimes even of our prayer, we just have to clear that out. Not that any of those things are bad, but if getting in our prayers is causing us anxiety, well then we have issues there. Jesus is directing us back to the one thing necessary, which is Him and time with Him, listening to Him. Perhaps that involves scripture. It definitely should be a time of silence. So maybe this is what we can ask the Lord today as we meet Him today at this altar. We can ask Him to help us to make time for Him. And to do so, not so that our time with the Lord just becomes another thing that we have to get done, another thing among the many that stresses us out, but rather that we'll come to see with eyes of faith that this being with Jesus, this singular focus on Jesus, is going to provide the foundation that I need so that my whole life becomes oriented to Him. So that whether I'm at prayer like Mary or at work like Martha, I'm never away from the Lord. And so that time working or praying is not a burden. It might be hurried. It might be working very hard, even frenetically like Abraham was in the first reading, but that we would always experience communion with the Lord there, who takes away our burdens, who takes away the heaviness, takes away the anxiety, the burden. May Jesus teach us how to make Him the one thing necessary in our life so that the many things in our life may find their proper place.